Hello and a very warm welcome to our time of worship. I'm so glad that you've been able to join us virtually as we spend this time offering our praise and our thanksgiving to our amazing God. Last week we were considering how we are worthy, how God makes us all good. This week we're going to be turning our attention to God and considering how God is good. We're going to have some worship songs, most of which are being led by our own worship group. We'll then be having a chat with the Tates and the Hodges, two of our church families that have had babies during lockdown. Alison will be leading some prayers for us later, and then we will spend some time reflecting on the goodness of God. But let's pause for a moment and pray before we begin. Let's be quiet. Oh God, what a joy it is to be here in this place right now to worship you. We may be in our own homes, but we do not meet alone. Thank you that we meet with so many others just in different places, but that we all join together to bring you our praise. And best of all, we thank you that you, God, are here. Your presence surrounds us and we praise you for being here with us right now. God, you are such an amazing God. Thank you that you're always blessing us and that you love us and care for us. Thank you that as we explored last week, we are all special to you and that you delight in us and declare us good. But even more, we praise you today because you are good. Your goodness invades your world and pours into our own lives. Today, may each of us know your goodness and rejoice in it and be overwhelmed by it. And as you continue to bless us, may this time together be a blessing to you. For we offer you our thanks in the name of Jesus. Amen. You know, the words of Psalm 8 say this. Oh Lord, our Lord, your majestic name fills the earth. Your glory is even higher than the heavens. And when I look at the night sky and I see all the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars and all you've set in place, then what are mere mortals that you should think about them? You know, sometimes all we can do is stand back in awe at our amazing God. And so we join together in praise. So hiya, Sophie. Hiya, Lisa. Thank you so much for joining us this morning. It's really good to see you. Do you know, there's loads of people in the church who won't have been introduced to Lisa yet. So, Soph, would you like to introduce her to us?
Yeah. So this is Lisa Joy Hodge. She's 6 months old next week.
Wow.
Yeah.
And give us the date she was born and the weight and all of that kind of stuff.
She was born on the 24th of July. She was a little bit early, but she was still a whopping £9.12. So, so a big girl. Yeah.
And how is Lisa? Is she a good? She looks really good at the minute. But is she generally a good baby? Does she sleep at night or does she keep you up?
She's all babies are kind of good and bad in their own ways, aren't they? She's incredibly engaging, so she absolutely loves people. So if you were to walk into this room, she would be beaming at you, giggling, engaging you. But she loves to be involved. So if Jamie and I are trying to have a conversation that she's not involved in, she's very quick to protest because she wants to be involved in everything.
And what's it been like, Soph, having a baby under lockdown? It must be really weird with all the different restrictions in so many ways. So what's that been like?
I mean, I think the biggest sadness for me has been friends and family missing out on a lot of her babyhood. Babies change so much. So my parents have met her a couple of times, but they would have met her far more if it had been normal times. And my sister, for example, has still never met Lisa. Like a lot of our friends have only met her like once or something. So that's been my biggest sadness, really, is just we think we've got this really beautiful, engaging baby, and we've just not been able to share her with people the way that you usually would.
And you know, these are strange and difficult times for all of us. I mean, particularly, I guess, for you having a baby, as we've just been talking about during lockdown. But they're kind of weird times and depressing times for a lot of people. Having a baby during this time, what joy has that brought for you in these strange times?
I mean, I guess that it has brought real joy, because actually we've had something hugely positive in what has been a very bleak, dark time for many people. And I guess what's really struck me is it's really cliched to say it, but that kind of absolute, overwhelming, complete 100% love that you have when you have a baby. And I was reflecting on the fact that actually, for the first time, I understand a love that is in no way reciprocal. Yeah. So obviously, I do love my husband and my friends and my family in a kind of self-sacrificing way to a certain degree. But there is always a bit of selfishness or reciprocalness that you expect in a relationship, even from your husband. But with Lisa, it genuinely is that kind of 100% love. I would give myself completely for her in an instant without thinking about it, and I don't expect anything from her in return. And also that kind of really, really protective love. As I say, it's a cliche, but it has kind of helped me understand that kind of sense of love that God has for us. That idea of a love that is completely one-sided, that it's not reciprocal, that you know, God, no matter what we do, God still loves us, and obviously he wants a relationship with us, but his love is not dependent on anything that we do or anything that we are. And I think, yeah, having a baby helps you understand that, perhaps for the first time.
But it's been great to catch up, and we really hope that we can all meet again in person before too long.
Brilliant. Yeah, me too. Thanks, Tim. Good to see you. Love to everyone at PMC.
Rachel and Mark, hello. Thank you for joining.
Hi, how are you doing?
We've just been chatting to Sophie and Lisa, and it's good to catch up with you guys now as well. So why don't you introduce us to your new addition?
So this is little Maggie, Maggie Iris Tate, and she was born almost 2 weeks late, 13 days late, on the 27th of December.
Wow.
Yeah,
Maggie, you were nearly a Christmas baby.
She was, and she was induced and here within 4 hours.
Oh, she looks great.
Yeah.
Looks great. So what's it been like, guys, having a baby in lockdown?
Well, enjoyable. We're 3 weeks in. So as Mark says, she's great. And compared to Tal, like, very easy. I can just remember him shouting in the night for an hour or two at a time. She pretty much feeds and go back to sleep. But it's been great, a lot quieter than with Tal, because we've had loads of generous people dropping off meals and cakes and prezzies for them both. But it's been a doorstop kind of Simba presentation of her and a quick chat, and then people have gone on the way. Whereas last time, I remember you almost get bombarded with people and you're like, oh, come in for a cuppa.
Yeah.
And you get to the end of the day and you're like, oh.
Yeah, exactly.
Socially spent. So it's potentially been almost nicer in a quiet way.
And I'm just thinking about coronavirus and obviously it's they're strange times, certainly for all of us, but quite sad times as well for an awful lot of people. There's not an awful lot of good news about. How has having Maggie for the two of you kind of changed your outlook or changed any? I see you've got hope on your t-shirt.
I have.
so tell me, either of you, about what hope it's given you.
Yeah, in general, just, you know, something to look forward to, you know, as you said, in these difficult times. So we've had, you know, a nice positive experience through these difficult times. So it's been, you know, difficult through the last years. Well, through last year, you know, with everything that's happened. So we've got some hope moving forward, you know, that things aren't all doom and gloom, that there's positive elements to look forward to. And, you know, a baby's, you know, a great symbol of hope. So, yeah, it's been wonderful.
Yeah.
Fantastic. And you know, it's... One of the things that we really hope, all of us I know at PMC, is that, you know, before too long we can all get back together and everybody can see you. Four of you. Wow. And we look forward to seeing how Maggie's going to add to the dynamics of life, not only in your family, but to our whole church family too.
Be definitely nice to come as a four when we're allowed.
Well, let's all pray that it won't be too long before we're back together again. Listen, guys, it's been brilliant having you with us. Thank you for sharing with us, and thank you for introducing us all to Maggie.
Reading selected verses from Genesis 1. Then God said, "Let there be light," and there was light, and God saw that the light was good. Then God said, "Let the earth produce every sort of animal, each producing offspring of the same kind, livestock, small animals that scurry along the ground, and wild animals." And that is what happened. And God saw that it was good. Then God said, "Let us make human beings in our image to be like us." So God created human beings in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Then God looked over all he had made, and he saw it was very good. Some verses from Psalms 145. Great is the Lord, he is most worthy of praise. No one can measure his greatness. Let each generation tell its children of your mighty acts. Let them proclaim your power. I will meditate on your majesty, glorious splendor, and your wonderful miracles. Your awe-inspiring deeds will be on every tongue. I will proclaim your greatness. Everyone will share the story of your wonderful goodness. They will sing with joy about your righteousness. The Lord is merciful and compassionate, slow to get angry and filled with unfailing love. The Lord is good to everyone. He showers compassions on all of his creation. All of your works will thank you, Lord, and your faithful followers will praise you. They will speak of the glory of your kingdom. They will give examples of your power. They will tell you about your mighty deeds and about your majesty and glory of your reign. For your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. You rule throughout all generations. And two verses from Psalms 119, verses 65 and 68. You have done many good things to me, Lord. You are good and do only what is good.
I wonder what you think of when you consider the character of God. Which qualities best describe God's nature? Many of you will immediately say love, and you know, I'd say the same. Others might think of God's righteousness or holiness or justice or God's mercy, perhaps. And all of those are truly embedded in the character of God. But you know, of all the virtues that we might associate with God, there is one that stands out above all others. And that is that God is good. But what do we mean by that word good? Now, we usually use the word as an adjective to describe something that's better than something else, or to describe an action that's compassionate or kind or caring. And quite often we use the word good in relation to performance. We might say that someone is good at football or singing. We call our pet a good dog when they bring a ball back to us or sit at command. Our kids are good when they behave. Or else we use it as a comparative term. Something is good in comparison to something else. I don't like that picture, but this one's good. I get on okay with Betty, but Sandra, well, she's a really good friend. Very rarely do we use the word good as a noun to describe the intrinsic nature of someone or something. You know, the Hebrew word that's used for good is the word tob. And it's the word that the Bible uses to describe the goodness of God. And tob is not a term of comparison, and nor is it related to performance. Tob means to be always wholesome. It means to be and to do the very best, to possess moral excellence, to always better the other person, despite the cost. So that's what good means in the Bible. And it's that word good that's applied to God more than any other word. The goodness of God is mentioned over 250 times in the Bible. Compare that to the love of God, which is only mentioned on 54 occasions, or the righteousness of God, which we hear of 30 times, or the wrath of God, which is used just 14 times. And, you know, being good is not just something that God does. It describes God's very essence. It's who God is. God inhabits goodness as a noun. Goodness is a nature that defines all of God's other attributes. God loves because God is good. God's grace flows from God's goodness. God's mercy comes from God's goodness. Even God's anger comes from God's goodness. God is the very foundation of goodness and of everything good. God didn't obtain goodness from some other source. No, God from the very beginning was and is all that is good. Goodness is what defines God. And you know, the Bible shows God's goodness in two ways. One has to do with God's character that I've just described, and the other focuses on God's actions. We read earlier on a verse from Psalm 119 that captures both. You are good and do only what is good, it says. God's nature is goodness, and that means that everything that comes from God is also good. Jesus himself said that only God is truly good. And you know, the Psalms, more than any other book, proclaim the goodness of God. We read Psalm 145 earlier. Here's some other examples. Psalm 34, taste and see that the Lord is good. Psalm 86, for you, O Lord, are good and forgiving, abounding in steadfast love to all who call on you. Psalm 136, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good and his steadfast love endures forever. Psalm 31, oh, how abundant is your goodness. And of course, Psalm 23 ends with those lovely words, surely your goodness and unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life. So here's what all of that means. I believe that before anything else is true in the Bible, before we can begin to talk about sin or salvation or righteousness or discipleship or anything relating to God, the very first thing we need to know, the most important thing for us to get, is that God is good. We read right at the start of Genesis that when God orchestrated all of creation, God declared it good. All of creation stems from God's goodness. And you know, when I explore that poem in Genesis 1, I see a story that tells us the foundation of everything else we ever need to know. God is good. All of creation was made for relationship with God. And God's goodness to God's creation and to us in particular is woven all through Scripture. After that act of creation itself, in the very next chapter, when Adam and Eve disobey God, God provides them with animal skins to clothe them. That shows that God is good. The rainbow after the flood shows God is good. The covenant that God made with Abraham shows God is good. The rescue of the Israelites from Egypt shows God is good. The gift of the promised land shows God is good. God raised up a king for the Jewish people against God's own will because God is good. God sent the prophets because God is good. And then God came as Jesus because God is good. Jesus proclaimed the goodness of God. And then he died on a cross and rose again to restore us to beautiful relationship with the Father. Why? Because God is good. God sent us the Holy Spirit at Pentecost because God is good. God built his church where we could be fed and nourished because God is good. And then finally, we come to Revelation and the final restoration of all of creation to God. Revelation 14 says this: "Then I saw another angel with an eternal message of good news to announce to all the people of the earth, every race, tribe, language and nation." God's story ends just like it all began, with the message that God is good. So we've established, I hope, that God is good. And that means that all that God does is also good. James says in James 1, every good and perfect gift comes from above, coming from the Father. We sometimes sing that worship song that says God is good all the time. And you know, it's true. Everything God does is good, and God only ever displays goodness. God is the source of everything that is good, and we cannot separate what is good from God. You can't have goodness without God, and you can't have God without goodness. All through the Bible, we see the story of God blessing God's people, and God's blessing of us points us right back to God's goodness. God supplies our needs. That's God's goodness. God forgives us when we mess up. That's God's goodness. God dwells with us and abides in us. That's God's goodness. God is our strength and protection and ever-present help in times of trouble. That's God's goodness. God gives us a peace that passes understanding. That's God's goodness. And God died on a cross to restore us to new life with God. That's God's goodness. We read earlier from Psalm 145 that the Lord is good to everyone. Now, it might sound obvious, but who does that include? Well, everyone. And in case we missed it, the psalmist repeats the idea in the very next phrase. His compassion rests on all he has made. Jesus said that God, our Father, causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. And that means that no one is excluded from the goodness of God. And there's nowhere in this whole universe you can go where you won't experience God's goodness. So God is good, and all that God does is good for all of us. But what does that mean for us in real practical terms today? Well, it means that whatever we do, however we mess up, nothing will exclude us from the goodness of God. Paul said that nothing can separate us from the love of God. In Jesus, we realize that even our participation in his death cannot separate us from God's goodness. We can take the Son of God and we can drive nails through his hands and his feet, and we can watch him die on a cross, and God turns our horrifying actions into his goodness. And he says, Father, forgive them. And he says, this is my blood poured out for you. We can end up crucifying the Son of God, and God turns our evil into the goodness of an empty tomb on Easter morning. We can run from God. We can try to hide from God, turn our backs on God, fight against God even. And all we will ever get back is God's goodness. God's goodness will always prevail. You know, over the last 2,000 years, there have been so many different doctrines built up about God and our relationship with God. Some have been invented to scare us or to force us to change our ways. Some have been there to serve the church's agenda, not God's. Lots have been ingrained in our minds and conditioning over hundreds of years. Many describe a God that I don't want to believe in or want to follow. Many are built on other virtues given to God. But here's the thing. Whatever anyone else tells you about God, however long you've heard the stories or been fed the lines, please remember and know this. God is good and only good. And you and I and the whole world and everyone in it, I believe, only ever, ever experience the goodness of God and nothing other than the goodness of God. Whatever else you hear, please check it out against what we really know, that God is good. If it's not good news, then it's not God. And another thing for us now is that even when things don't look great, when the world seems to be spiraling out of control, when your world seems to be caving in, God is always working for your good. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him." And Jesus himself said, "If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask him?" Our God is a God of abundance, and God keeps on being good over and over again, even when it doesn't look that way. God doesn't promise us ease or even comfort. God doesn't remove us from a world acquainted with both joy and sorrow. But God will always be good to us. And God's goodness is the one thing we can depend on. Every time that someone makes you smile reminds you of God's goodness. Every time you laugh, every good thing that you eat, every time that you go, wow, every bird and tree and flower and animal that you see, every sunset that you view, every friend you ever had, every lover you knew, all of it, absolutely all of it, is a reminder of the goodness of God that will always be there for you. So what can we say then in closing? When we recognize God's goodness, when we rest in God's goodness, when we refuse to see anything other than God's goodness, that is when we will be most alive to God, ourselves and others. In God's goodness, we receive our deepest identity and know God's deepest identity. In God's goodness, we see the context of who we are and where we're going, where everything is headed. In God's goodness, all of our hope is realized. God's goodness goes before us. God's goodness comes beside us. And God's goodness goes ahead of us to the ends of the earth. Now, there will be times when you feel far from God's goodness. Times when you're hurting or grieving or angry or frustrated by the seemingly craziness of everything. When you find yourself in those moments, try to remember that God's goodness is not based on you feeling it. It's there whether you can see it or not, whether you feel it or not, even when you can accept it or not. And somehow, God's goodness will become known to you again. It's been there since the dawn of time, and it will be there for eternity. And God has always been and will always be a good, good God.
Almighty God, you are good all the time, and you promise to hear us and bless us when we pray. So wherever we are this morning, or whenever we join this service, let us recognize your goodness and your blessings which surround us. In the warm cup of tea, in the food we have from the cupboards, the roof over us, the place where we live, the warmth and shelter from outside, the photos of our family and friends that surround us, the refreshing rain as we look outside, or the dry day, and even the beauty of a snowflake. Help us to stop and look for the blessings which you give us daily. In your strength and goodness, let us share with others in our community and family. We pray for those we know who are living in fear or in isolation. Give your strength. We pray for those living in despair and depression. Give your hope. We pray for those living with illness or grief. Give your healing. We pray for those struggling with work, homeschooling, and caring for others. Give them your peace. And we bring family and friends to mind now. In the wider world, sometimes when we look, Lord, all we see is the injustice, the poverty, violence, and political wrangling. We don't need to understand, and we don't need to search for the answers. God, you are good, and in you we trust. Help us fix our hearts on your grace. Let us recognize and know your Holy Spirit and your Spirit's presence whenever we see and pray for all these wider situations. And together, wherever we are today, this morning, in our county and in our community, we pray the same words which you taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the power, the kingdom, and glory, now and forever, Lord. Amen.
From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Of the goodness of
Thank you for joining us in our worship this morning. I really hope that you've enjoyed it. But more than that, I hope that this morning you've been able to encounter something of the goodness of God for yourself. We'll be doing it all again next week, so do join us on YouTube or Facebook when Bill Wright will be leading our time of worship. But let me end with a blessing. Let's pray. God, you are such a good, good God. You are goodness itself, and everything that you do is good. As we leave this time, may your goodness pervade every part of our lives. May we know it in our heads, feel it in our hearts, receive it in our souls, and display it in our actions. May your goodness go before us, envelop us, follow us, and fill us. May it bring joy to our spirit and hope to our hearts. And now may the goodness of your blessing, O God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, go with us and be with us now and always. Amen.